My dad, Pastor Salem, touched lives all over the world each week with his messages of the hope that we can find in our Savior Jesus Christ. I'm Mike Salem, and I want to remind you that God loves you and invites you to ask Jesus into your heart. A viewer from Michigan recently sent us a letter. It reads, "Thank you for all the work you do bringing people to accept Jesus as our Savior. Bless you all for carrying on without Pastor Salem. You've all been doing an excellent job. Also, thank you for sending me the new song for the last 2 years. It inspires me greatly toward my beautiful, beautiful Savior." The new song our viewer is referring to is called A New Song. It's a monthly newsletter from the writings of Pastor Salem that we send out each month. If you would like to receive this devotional Bible study each month, please write to us or visit us at ChristianWorshipHour.com. We hope Dad's message, "When Jesus Comes Again," will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a special sermon today about Jesus coming again, when Jesus comes again. So maybe you want to call a friend or somebody, maybe they'd like to tune us in. We'd love to have them join us. We're looking at Psalm 103, verses 12 to 17. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions away from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It comes upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your enduring love. Thank you that you care for us as a father cares for his children when we put our faith in the dear Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. And so today, help us, Lord, we may worship you in spirit and in truth. In the Savior's name we pray, amen. And Jan opens us today with a song, "Watch and Pray," and God bless you, Jan.
Here, let him find us.
Well, thank you, Jan, and that's exactly what we're going to be preaching about, is the Jesus coming again. So maybe you want to call a friend and say, we're going to have about the return of the Lord. It's exciting and it's wonderful, and it's going to happen one of these bright, sunny days. But before that, we want to read some letters, and thank you for writing. We just appreciate that so much. We read every letter we get, and if you have a question, we try to answer every question we get. And so you just pray for us and write to us, and of course, send a gift if you can. We need your help that way, and I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But first of all, and by the way, we're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 today, and so you can locate that. This first letter is from Sioux City, Iowa, and they write, thank you so much for the new song. I enjoy receiving it every month and always look forward to your wonderful programs on Sunday morning. I pray for the Christian worship hour each day, and for you, you brought me back to God. I had accepted God when I was a little girl, around 6 or 7 years old, but I drifted away. However, prayer was made on my behalf. May God bless you all. So here's two things. First of all, is somebody drifted away, came back to the Lord. You know, that can happen easy. We can get taken up in the things of the world, and it just kind of slips up on us. Before we know it, we've drifted away. And like God says to the church at Laodicea, you forgot your first love. You're lukewarm. You're lukewarm. And so you can come back. And oh, we're happy when we hear somebody like this dear lady came back to Jesus and full fellowship with the Lord. And she talks about the new song. Now, sometimes we get letters and they want the new songbook. Now, we don't have a songbook. It's called the new song. And that is, it's a little paper we put out every month, and it has a Bible study. And this month, it's going to be on December, and it's about what shall we name him? What is his name? And so you can write to us, and you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. I'll give you the number right now while it's on my mind. And it's the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in good old Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you this little Bible study, and then it has excerpts from letters we get, and oh, you'll love it. And it's free, so how can you beat that? Even if you didn't like it, you ought to take it if it's free. So give it a try. Here's Davenport, North Dakota. And listen to this. Hi, it's me, Livia, again. How are you? I am now in first grade. It is fun. My triplet siblings, she has siblings, triplets, brothers and sisters, doing fine and will turn 4 soon. I've been reading my children's Bible to them every night. And then we sing songs and say our prayers to God. We have been praying for you and the Christian Worship Hour. That is so wonderful. I put that in. It's wonderful you're praying. And then she says, I'm sending $19 that I tithe from my allowance to help the ministry. I love to go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. Love, Livia. P.S. I will turn 7 pretty soon. Isn't that a beautiful story? And Livia's written before, and I just treasure her letters. And here she is. Going to be 7 years old. My, she's getting awful old. And she sends her gifts. She tithes, sends us a Christian Worship Hour. And that makes me think of the widow's mite, doesn't it? She just, a widow put in everything she had. And Jesus said she wouldn't eat till the next day when she got paid. They got paid every day in those days. They'd pay them at the close of the day. And she put it all in. She wouldn't eat till the next day. So that's beautiful. Here's Union City, New Jersey. I'm so glad I discovered you on the internet. Although it came late in my life, I thank God for bringing me your good, basic, honest preaching about the most important part of our life, Yesu. Bless you and your work. And here's something you can keep, all of you can keep in mind. You can get us on internet. You can get us any time of the day, 24 hours a day. and maybe you don't have good television reception or something that isn't working, and you can get us on internet. And they tell me it comes in just excellent, clear as a bell. So keep that in mind, if you will. Look at here. This is from Lucca, Italy. And it's a lady that watches us on shortwave radio. And here's what she writes. By radio, I learn more about the world of our Lord Jesus and about the Holy Bible. By your programs, I improve my knowledge about the way for my redemption. Then she writes, thank you for your help in my salvation. I'll continue to listen to your programs again for many years. Best regards from your Italian listener. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, we're with shortwave, we're all over the world. I think 90%. And so you can write to us. This blesses our heart. This is wonderful. And I can't wait to meet this lady in heaven. Boy, isn't that, I just tell you, I can't hardly wait. But we have to. We got to get our work done. So we're just so happy about this letter. Here's one a little closer than Italy, Des Moines, Iowa. God bless all of you. Christian Worship Hour is now my church. Since October 13th, my health has been poor. At 85, I'm lucky to still live alone and do most of my daily needs. Hope this small check helps in a small way. Thank you for your prayers for the ill and shut-ins. Everyone needs prayers. You are in my prayers every day. And you know, that's where the power is. The power's in the prayers. And if you pray for us, we'll reach people and people will come to the Lord by the thousands and thousands all over the world. Just pray. And pray for those who have drifted away from the Lord. And pray for the shut-ins, the people can't get out, and the aged. Oh, we have a burden for them. We just love them. I'm 94 years old. I'm one of them. And I know what I'm talking about. And boy, you get so you don't skip rope anymore. I'm going to tell you, you don't climb trees anymore. You're just pretty sedentary. And so, but we have Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus. And we may be getting weaker on the outside, but we're getting stronger on the inside. So how can you beat that? And then they say, yeah, you're 1 week closer to the grave. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm 1 week closer to glory, to heaven. That's where I'm at. Well, all right, that's not the sermon, so don't hang up. Here is one in, Clearwater, Florida. Please send the book on taking your own life. I did try at one time, but God was not going to let that happen to me. My friend and family told me I would not go to heaven. So pray for me that I will not be so lonely. I'm going to be 85 years old in January. Well, praise the Lord here. She didn't commit suicide. But if she would have committed suicide as a child of God, she'd been in heaven. And, you know, I got a letter from somebody, and they said, you shouldn't tell people that because then they'll commit suicide. Now, I don't think that's going to make any difference, but I'll tell you what I have to do. I have to preach what God teaches, and I have to preach the Word of God and let the chips fall where they may. I don't know if more people commit suicide or not. That's in God's department. My part, you preach it, and God will do the rest. So there. Now, here's one. And by the way, if you want this pamphlet, it's 10 pages. And it's all scripture. It's not my guessing or my supposition or I died and came back to life again and stuff. And, you know, some people think I'm already dead, but I got a little life in me. I'm still kicking a little bit. And so if you want this, it's all out of the Bible. 10 pages. It's 8 reasons why a Christian will die, who commits suicide will go to heaven. You just write to us and put suicide. And we'll know what it means. And we send a lot of these, believe me. And we're so glad that we can give some hope to a lot of people that are suffering and sorrowing over something they wouldn't need to sorrow over. And then let me see. Here's Orlando, Florida. I'm a recent listener and believer in Jesus. I want to take the time to send an offering for your support of God's word work. I'm originally from New York City, and at an early age of 12 was sent to a Christian boarding school in Iowa, where I heard and accepted the Lord as my Savior. Your work reminds me of the worship and study of the Word in our country church. Praise the Lord, and may God bless you and your team. Well, I get a lot of that there, remember, for the little old country church, because that's my generation. I'm not just a different generation. I'm a different century. I'm from the last century. So you're talking to an old-timer, and that's what I'm preaching, the same old gospel. It's got the same old power in winning people to Christ and comforting the people of God. There's power in the Word. Preach it. Well, here's one more. Shoreline, Washington. My son and I watch and listen to the Christian Worship Hour on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. You led my husband to the Lord before he passed away in June. Isn't that beautiful? My God, that's beautiful. And that's what we're doing. We're helping people come to the Lord. And the reason we're helping them is because we're preaching the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to hearts. And then people accept Jesus. And I want to tell you something, friends. If you send a nickel to this organization, the Christian Worship Hour, or if you've made any gifts to the Christian Worship Hour, you have an investment in that man's salvation. So you need to help us. We need your help. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we need your help. I'm going to just tell you, we never beg for money. We're just going to tell you, if we don't get the money, we can't go on the air. That's all. So if you think this is something of the Lord, you pray about it and ask the Lord, should I support this? And then if he says yes, just ask him how much. And he'll tell you how much. He'll lay it on your heart. And then you send it to us, and you've got it on the screen there, our address, just as plain as day. And if you want to, you can send it over the internet. You can send a gift. We're getting money all the time over the internet. And you just get on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then it'll say donate, and you hit donate, and then it'll say PayPal. That's us. And then you put in what you want to give, and you fill that out, and we'll get it. We get gifts from all over the world, the Philippines, the Bahamas, Norway, and several other countries. And so you can help us. You say, well, I'd like to help them, but where I'm so far away, you can just fill that thing out and that we'll have it before I get home from the service, from the studio. So I hope that you'll write and help us. If you want to know if we're using the money wisely, we are a full member of what is called Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check all, we have to receipt everything. They check all of our books, and they check on how we spend it and where it goes so it's safe. And so you can write to us, and we'd appreciate it very much. We use it in the preaching of the gospel. And one other thing before I go, we have the new song. And that's a little booklet that we send out. You can write for that. So you write to us now. Jan's going to play while you pray. I'll pray, and then you play, and she'll play. And then you pay whatever the Lord lays on your heart, and we'll take it from there, and we'll go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you're supplying our needs. Thank you for standing by and helping us. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as you know, every week we pray for another country that our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering in other countries. And so we're going to pray for the Christians in Jordan. And so we'll think about them and pray that God, we know that God will help them and that they're a great witness for the Lord. But Paul writes about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, he talks about when Jesus comes for his church, when he comes for the believers. And that's going to be a silent thing. The world won't notice. They'll just know that the people are gone. And so we'll look about that in the sermon in just a minute. But he's talking about when he comes for the church, for the body of Christ. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we know Jesus is going to come one of these days, maybe today, maybe before this service is over. We don't know. But we know that he'll come because he said he'd come. And we're going to see him. And we're going to see him face to face. And we're going to be changed. And our mortal body is going to be an immortal body. Just like our spirit and soul is immortal. And then our body will also be immortal. And we will rule and reign with you forever and ever. Oh, we can hardly wait, Lord. But yet we want to wait because we want to give people time to come to you, many to turn to you. And we believe that during this service today, there will be many all over the world that will pray the prayer of the penitent. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we believe that that's going to happen all over the world through the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. And so we give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do and for all who come to know the Lord. And now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in the country of Jordan. And we know that there are many, many who love you there and are serving you. And yet we know they're being persecuted. And we just pray that you'll help them to be stand true to you even unto death. And then, Lord, as they die, they'll be ushered into your presence and have the martyr's crown. What a glory that'll be forever and ever. And how their witness will help Christians all over the world to stand up for Jesus and let our light shine in this dark world. So bless those people, the orphans and the widows, the ones left behind, and the old people that are struggling and dying. Oh, God. We just thank you that we know that you're with you said you'd never leave us or forsake us, and you're with every child of yours when they come to the end of the life. And so we just pray today now that as we have our study, that we'll realize that you're coming again, and we'll redouble our efforts to win people to yourself. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hank's going to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. God bless you, Hank. What a privilege to carry
everything to God in prayer. Temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you, brother. And isn't that a wonderful song that Jesus will be our friend and we can go to the Lord in prayer? Maybe it's the middle of the night and you can't sleep. You can go to the Lord in prayer. He's there. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh, it's great to tell about Jesus. And that's what we do all the time. And you know, if you just ask Christ, ask Jesus to come into your heart, he'll come into your heart and live with you and dwell with you, and you'll have him all your life. I was 10 years old. That's 84 years ago. And you know, I've had my sins and my times of failure in my Christian life when I didn't walk as close to the Lord as I should have. But he never forsook me. He'd talk to me and he'd give me a conscience that'd bother me. And sometimes he'd kind of stub my toe a little bit and he dealt with me like he chastened me. But he never forsook me and he never left me and he never gave up on me. And he'll do the same for you. But you've got to ask him into your life. He'll never come into your life unless you ask him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That's the door of your heart, not your head, but your heart, your being, your emotions, and your will. And you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And you promise to serve him the best you can, forsake all sin as best you can. And then you just trust him and live for him. And all life will be different. You have a friend. Sticketh closer than a brother, never leave you. Well, we're talking today, you know, last Sunday or last weekend, we had our celebration for Thanksgiving. And we had a Thanksgiving sermon. And I hope you had a wonderful time with your friends and you ate enough so you didn't get hungry before bedtime. And I hope all that. But now we're going to look at something else because in this, our scripture was taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he tells us to be thankful people. But out of this very same chapter, he's telling us that Jesus is coming again. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus. But the theme of the 2 Thessalonians is this, 2 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And so he talks about his coming again. And he talks about in Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne. and who rule forever and ever. So Jesus is coming again, and I know people make fun of that, but let them make fun. You know, they can bark at the moon, but that isn't going to make a bit of difference. The Arabs have a saying, the dogs may bark at the caravan, but the caravan goes right on. And that's the way God's program's going. And you can just do all of the hitting against God and all the atheists against God and all the rest of it. But God won't make a bit of difference. He'll move right on and do his program. Part of that program, Jesus is going to come again. Even the people in the Old Testament talked about it. Job, for instance, says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. So he knows Jesus. He didn't know Jesus. He knew God. And he calls him his Redeemer. And he's going to stand on this earth. And he says, and the latter day when upon this earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger, and not as another. He's going to see him. You know, in the New Testament, there are many promises that in the New Testament, we have 260 chapters in the New Testament. And of those, there are 318 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ said he would come again in Matthew 26, verse 64. He said unto them, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That's going to happen. The angels said the same thing in Acts 1, verse 11, which also said, the angels said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall some come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so he's going to come again. This same Jesus bodily is going to return from heaven to this earth. It's going to happen. And we need to be ready for it. We need to prepare for it. So we know that it's certain. We know it's going to happen because, for instance, it's prophesied. In the Old Testament, it's prophesied over and over. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, 742 years before Jesus Christ was born, he was prophesied of his coming and of his coming a second time. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, all of these chapters talk about Jesus coming again. Whole books and chapters are given to the second coming of Christ. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, Mark 23, Luke 21, all talking about Jesus is coming again. And so it holds great importance in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so Jesus is going to come again. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Lord himself shall return from heaven. He ascended bodily ascended bodily into heaven, and he'll descend bodily when he comes again, just as sure as the Bible stands. Now, the return of the Lord is going to be personal. Sometimes you say, well, the Lord comes again by his Spirit, or the Lord comes again when we die and he comes and takes us to be with himself, or he comes this way or that way. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Bible teaches he is going to personally come. Acts 1, 8, 11. This same Jesus is going to come again. And what was that Jesus? He bodily ascended into heaven. After his resurrection and 40 days, he ascended bodily into heaven, and bodily he will return. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him. So he'll come again, and he'll have those marks in his hands, in his feet, in his side. Those scars will be with him forever and ever and ever. That same Jesus. And so it won't be a spirit or a phantom or a spook or anything else. It will, Jesus Christ will come in the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen closely, because if you don't, you're never going to understand the second coming of Christ. So are you ready? The second coming of Christ is going to be in two phases, or two aspects, or two parts. And unless you get that in your mind, you're going to be all confused. The first part of his coming is called the rapture, and it just comes for the people of God, the Christians, the believers. That's all. Nobody else is affected. The second coming, he comes by revelation, and all the world sees him. And so the rapture comes for believers. Now, the word rapture is not found in the Bible, but that doesn't matter. The truth is therefore unmistakably written in the Bible. The word rapture is a Latin version of a phrase. The Bible uses it to catch away something, to take it away. The online dictionary has the word rapture to mean an expression or manifestation of ecstasy or passion and being carried away by overwhelming emotion. And so when we talk about the rapture of Jesus, of the Christians, we're talking about Jesus coming silently and they're taken to be with him in heaven. And then later on, he will come with the Christians, with the believers, and he will be seen visibly. Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, tells us that all believers, the living and the dead, will be taken to be with the Lord suddenly when he comes. He says in John chapter 14, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the rapture when he comes, and those who have died in Christ and those who are alive, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the rapture. Now the revelation means when he comes and he comes visibly and all the world sees him. Let me give you some illustrations. In Matthew chapter 24, we are told that he says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Now he's talking about the rapture, when he takes just the Christians. See? Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's secretly, and they're taken away, vanish. That's the rapture. Now the revelation, that's given to us in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, and it's publicly to the world. See, the first part of his return, he takes us silently to be with him. The second part of his return, he comes and he's visibly, the whole world sees him. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall behold him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, everybody's going to see him. So that's two different phases of his second coming. You have the same thing in 2 Thessalonians, verse 17. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So we're taken up and we meet the Lord in the air. But now the second phase, when he comes to be revealed, it's visible. And Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, those are two different phases, and if you try to put them together, they contradict each other. They don't make sense. So invisibly taking the Christians out, and then he comes, and the whole world sees him. You have it again in 2 Thessalonians 4:17, to meet the Lord in the air. And so all the Christians, the dead and rise first, then the rest of us were taken, snatched up wherever we might be, two in the field working, one taken, one left. They just snatched and taken up into the air. But at the revelation, he comes to the Mount of Olives where everybody sees him. See, Zechariah 14, verse 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So they're totally different. One is invisibly taken. The other, he comes and is seen by the whole world. The rapture is taken. The revelation, he's revealed and shown. Let me give you one other illustration. It's John chapter 14 and verse 3. Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's going to come for the believers. He's coming for them. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, listen to this. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints, with all his Christians. You see, the one is the rapture when we're taken with the Lord. The other is the revelation where he comes and everybody sees it. And everybody knows that the Lord is coming. So look at this revelation. He comes with his people. All the world will see him. That's the second phase. Let's look at that revelation when the world's going to see him. Matthew 24, verse 30. He says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And Zechariah talks about the same thing in Zechariah 14, verse 4. His feet shall stand at that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great, very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. It'll be like a great earthquake and the mountain is split in two. And they're totally different. Because when he comes for the church, for the believers, it's silently taken out. Now he comes and the whole world sees him. All over the world they see this. All the world is going to see it. You know, I began preaching the first Sunday in June, 1944. Now, that's been a piece down the road. 71 years, if you want to know. And you think, boy, you haven't improved much over 71 years. Well, you should have heard me when I started out preaching. Brother, I made a lot of improvements. I had a little congregation, had about 50 people, and the first Sunday I lost about 20 of them. So that came from a long time ago. I was 23 years old when I started preaching. And I'd preach about this scripture here, where he's going to descend outside Jerusalem, and he's going to stand there, and they would come to hear, and the unbelievers would say, I've had him tell me. This says if he's going to have feet in Jerusalem, how are they going to see him in South Dakota? I don't know. I didn't know anything about television, never heard about television. We had a radio, but it only worked half the time. It had tubes in it, radio with tubes. Worked once in a while, and I didn't know how they could see in South Dakota, see Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives and a cleft in twain. The minute it happened, the second it happened, I didn't know, but I preached it anyway. You know what I found out? Well, they got some satellites, didn't they? And they got television, and now you can see all over the world the moment it happens. Nothing to it. So somebody says, well, is God going to use the satellites? No, he won't use the satellites. He doesn't need man for anything. He'll work it in his own way. But all the world will see Jesus Christ come to the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split it into a great earthquake. That's the revelation when all the world sees him. The rapture, that is when we ascend into the Lord by ourselves and secretly, but then the revelation, everybody can see. In John, Jesus talked about this. And in the rapture, just the believers, just the Christians, just the ones that have accepted Jesus, that's the only ones that are taken, just the Christians. The wicked dead, the unbelieving dead, you died not believing. You're going to have a resurrection, but it's a different time. Now, here Jesus talks about that. He says in John chapter 5, verse 28, 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They that have done good means they've done the great thing of receiving Jesus Christ. That's the good. Who is only good but God? And they have God. They belong to God. And so Jesus, he tells us over and over, for instance, in John 3:18, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned. He that believeth not the Son is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why. It's not whether you commit suicide or whether you robbed a bank or whatever you've done. That's not it. It is, have you accepted Jesus Christ or not? Have you been born again? Have you taken Jesus into your life? The righteous and the unrighteous, the believer and the unbeliever, that's it. And that first part of that resurrection is for the believer. They're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But the rest of the second time, they'll be raised from the grave and there'll be a judgment of the great white throne. And they'll be cast into hell from the great white throne because they didn't believe. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You need to come to Jesus, and you need to come fast, and you ought to come now. I had a man tell me one time, he says, you shouldn't be preaching that way because you scare people and you're scaring them into the kingdom, scaring them to Jesus. Well, I said, if I can scare them to Jesus, I'll scare them all day long. If I see somebody and he's going over a cliff and he's blindfolded and he's walking and he's going to go over that cliff, if I don't yell and warn him and tell him, stop, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to lose your life. You're going to fall over a cliff and be gone. If I don't warn him, I'm as guilty as sin. So I'm warning you and I'm telling you, you have to have Jesus. You see, Jesus tells us over and over, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that all the world might be saved, might believe in him. And then he that hath the Son, he that believes is saved, he that believeth not is lost. That's all. No middle ground, no lukewarm business at all. It's just you have him or you don't have him. And so I'm praying today that you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the way you do it. You know that you're a sinner. You know that you're on the way to judgment. You know that it all is going to be lost. And so what you need to do is just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Just tell him you're a sinner, and he knows it, but he wants you to admit it. And just tell him, oh, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And maybe like Billy Graham says, if there's some big sin in your life that stands out, confess it. Name the sins if you want to. You don't need to name it to me or to any man. You name it to God, to Jesus. Tell Jesus. And then you tell this wonderful Jesus. Tell him that you're sorry for your sins. And ask him to please come into my heart and take away my sins. And Jesus will come in. I had a little boy ask me one time at camp. His name was Keith. I said, Keith, have you asked Jesus into your heart? And he says, no. I said, you ought to do that. And he asked me, and he said something to me that nobody's ever said in 71 years. He said, what if I ask him to come in and he doesn't come in and he won't come in? But Jesus, God tells us in Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. He wants to come in. He died for you. He shed his blood on the cross for you. He wants you to come in. He doesn't want to make it difficult. He doesn't want to put up barriers. He just wants you to come to Jesus. And so you need to pray and you just tell Jesus you're a sinner. Tell him what the sins are if you want to. Write them out if you want to. Don't let your wife see them. But just write them out, whatever you want to do. And then ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin. I was 10 years old. I didn't know anything about theology than the man in the moon. And I was way out. I didn't know a thing about the gospel. But I knew one thing. I knew I'd sinned. I'd sassed my mother. not so she could hear me, believe me. But I'd sassed my mother, and I'd done some other things. I guess I tried to cheat in school and got caught. I don't remember. But I know I asked Jesus. I knew I had sins. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I didn't understand anything about it. I was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. I didn't know that. I didn't realize what all was happening. You don't need to. And I didn't have any special feelings. Some people, when they accepted the Lord, they say, hallelujah. Oh, I feel liberated. I feel so happy. Well, good for you. I didn't feel that way. It was just a transaction where I'm bringing my sins to Jesus, and he's taking his blood and he's washing them away, and he's writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm a part of the body of Christ, and I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and I'm going to heaven, and nobody can stop me. That's all happening. I didn't know that, but that's what's happening, see? And so you say, just tell him what your sins are if you want to, and then ask him to come into your heart and to take away your sins. And you know, Isaiah tells us, God tells us, come now, come right now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I don't care what your sins have been. I don't care how many you've done. I don't know what they are, and I don't care. And God doesn't care. He just wants you to come, and he'll cleanse you. And he'll take away all those sins. And nobody will ever know what they are. Wouldn't you like to know what some of my sins were in the past? Ha ha, you'll never find out. All washed away, all gone, see? And that's what you need to do. And then you just make that prayer, and Jesus will come into your heart. Then you tell him you'll live for him. You'll forsake your sins, and he'll show you what they are. You'll know. And you turn around, repentance means an about face, and you walk with Jesus and follow him and talk with him. And then you thank him for saving you. Thank him. Don't be like the 10 lepers. 9 of them didn't thank him. Thank him. And then go and tell somebody. If you're maybe some of you men are watching today, tell your wife. My God, she will rejoice to heaven. She's prayed for you, and your mother probably prayed for you. And here you are, you're not saved. And like Jeremiah says, and the harvest is past, and we're not saved. And winter's coming. Judgment is coming, and we're not saved. And you got to get into the ark right now and get saved and come to Jesus. Now, if you do that, you write to us. And we'll send you some literature. And we'll get you started on the Christian Worship Hour. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And I hope that you send a gift, because we've got to have your help. You need to help us, friends. So if you think this is something of the Lord, then get in and help us. If not, then help somebody else. But we just need to have your help. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or you can use ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send a donation on that on PayPal. And to those of you that are in beds of sickness, and those of your shut-ins and you can't get out, I'm going to pray for you right now. Dear Jesus, be very close to those who've been worshiping with us. And that some of them are hurting, and they don't get any medicine. They can't get it to quit. Some of them are lonely, and nobody is seeing them, but you're seeing them. Some of them are weary, but Jesus, just be close to them and help them to know that we love them, and you love them, and the Christian Worship Hour loves them. That's the only thing, the reason we're in it here, is to bring people to Jesus and to comfort God's people, like you told Isaiah. Comfort ye my people. That's what it's all about. That's what we're about. But we need your help. We need your prayers. We need you to stand by. So we're going to be counting on you. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll be back. We'll be back around the throne of grace. All of us, all over the world, we're gathered one central point, the feet of Jesus. And God bless you. So we'll see you next weekend. God bless you. Love you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.